Well, good evening to each of you. Greetings of love in the name of Jesus. I count it a privilege to be here tonight, to be a part of this special service as the church moves forward, as it grows. And I just thank God for His presence. It's been a blessing to be here. And Peanut, those songs that you led were an inspiration to me. They was an encouragement to me. And I just trust that the Spirit of God is alive and is here, and His presence is here tonight with us. The title of the message is A Submitted Heart. For a text, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. Tonight, as you consider your heart, and as you consider the value and the vast amount of God that needs to be in your heart and your life for it to be submitted. Someone has said that while the word submission and surrender may be negative words for many of us, spiritually speaking, submission and surrender are not only positive, but they are essential. And I want to say amen to that quote. Tonight, as we think about this service, and as we think about our lives, we think about the call. A submitted heart is essential. George, in our prayer tonight, as we gathered together back in the back, he told God that he knew already who was going to be chosen. And you know, that thought struck me, that God is in this, and God is a part of it, and he already knows. He sees the picture. He's calling you and I tonight to be submitted. I said, with a little bit to get Ernie going, I said I didn't know what I was to preach on tonight or what I was to preach about. And he looked at me because he knew he had sent me the title, and I said, he didn't tell me who to preach to. Is it to Joe and Jason? Or is it to Mim and Debbie? Is it to their families? Or is it to you as a congregation? As I thought about this title the last couple of weeks, and as I struggled through some of the study, you know, I believe this title and this message tonight is for me. A submitted heart is not a heart that is just comes natural. It is a work of grace of God. And I beg your prayer tonight as we look into this subject. James chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 5. And you may wonder why, but hopefully as we go through here that you can understand it. James 4 in verse number 5, it says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness." Verse number 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" This word submit here, this idea of submission, this thought of surrender, it comes from a definition, a Greek military term, and it means to arrange under in a military fashion, under the command of a leader. But tonight, dear people, as we think about God's church, as we think about leadership, a non-military use of this is a voluntary giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. That is a definition of submit. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. And I guess that's my heart tonight as we think about this subject, that this is something that is of God, and it only comes out of our hearts through his power and through his grace. The Strong's would give us a definition of to obey or to be under obedience, to be put under, to subdue, to be subject to submit oneself unto. Another quote, submission is the freedom that comes from surrender. I recently read a quote from D.L. Moody. He heard a preacher say one time, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him." Tonight, is that your desire as you think about your life and your heart and where you find yourself before God tonight? The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. In the book of Titus, we see this same word submit translated into the English word obey. So to be a submitted person here tonight, or a surrendered person, we need to be an obedient person. Back here to our text in James chapter 4. As we consider the thought of a submitted heart, of an obedient heart, of a surrendered heart. Verse number 5, it says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" A.W. Tozer says the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. Does that resonate in your heart tonight? As you think about the times where you've tried to run ahead of God or tell God what to do. The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, and still making little forward progress is because they haven't come to the end of themselves. A submitted heart is not normal. I said this earlier. It is totally against our carnal nature and selfish desires. We are a proud people. We lift ourselves up. The obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in human society, is another quote I've seen. Think about that tonight, dear people. The obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in human society. The discipline of submission frees us from self-centeredness and allows us to consider the desires of others. Submission has nothing to do with being weak. It allows us to be strong enough to open our hearts to others. Think about that. Verse number 6, it says, "He giveth more grace." A submitted heart tonight can only come through the grace and the power of God working in our hearts and our lives. Verse 7, it says, "To submit yourselves therefore to God." Who are you submitted to tonight? Who has your heart? Who has your time? Who has your resources? What is first in your life? We have the call in verse number 7 to submit to God. We have a well-known hymn that I love dearly. It's titled "Blessed Assurance." And we know that Fanny Crosby wrote this song. But one of the verses, it says, "Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love." Another stanza goes, "Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love." Do you find yourselves there tonight? In perfect submission. Perfect delight. I want you to think with me for a minute of this lady, Fanny Crosby, and how she could write this when she was blind from an infant. And I know that she was not above temptation and probably not above failure. There was times of fear. There was times of sorrow. Yet two verses of this hymn says perfect submission. Perfect submission. Tonight, are you fully surrendered to Christ? Is your all on the altar? Are you willing to come under and be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? Yes, we may be asked to go through many things. Can we see through the pain, through the clouds, through the wind and rain, when things aren't fair, when life stinks, when it's wrong? Can we sing visions of rapture now burst on my sight? Is perfect submission your testimony tonight? She goes on to write this next stanza. Perfect submission, all is at rest. You know, a submitted heart is a heart that is at rest before God. A heart that is open before God. Verse number 7, it says resist. And the last part it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Tonight, as you consider your heart, as you consider your life, is everything at rest before God? Are you being faithful and victorious in resisting the devil and making him, through the grace and power of God, to flee from you? Verse number 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We have a work to do. We have a part to play in this battle, in this struggle for our hearts. We have some things here. We got to submit. We got to resist, and we got to draw nigh, and we got to cleanse. That's something you and I need to be faithful in as we consider our hearts. Perfect submission, all is at rest. Verse number 10, we have more direction. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Remember, the freedom that comes from submission is the ability to lay down that terrible burden of always needing to get our own way. That is freedom. That is humility. Turn with me now back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. We have a picture here. That many of us can relate to. A picture here that has probably convicted us many times. Matthew 18 and verse 4. It says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be humble? What does it mean to be that surrendered, submitted person that God can use? How does an humble person look like? What does an humble person look like? How do they act? Psalm 131. Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. What does a humble person look like? Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. It means tonight that you're willing to put yourself down. You're willing to come under and submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's willing to do things for people without expecting anything in return. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Someone has said that true humility acknowledges your weaknesses and strengths, accepts advice from others, admits when you're wrong, offers and accepts forgiveness, doesn't gloat or criticize when you're right. Think about that tonight as you think about the work of the church, the work of the leaders, the life of the church. We must be humble people that God can use. Truly, it takes a humble person to be and to have a submitted heart. Proverbs 29. Some more encouragement on humility. Proverbs 29. Verse number 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Thinking about this surrender and this submission. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We have Paul's testimony. I'd like to read it real quick. It's just one verse. Galatians chapter 2. As we think about humility, surrender, and a submitted heart. Galatians 2 and verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul's testimony. He was submitted. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. A submitted heart tonight is an humble heart. It is a teachable heart. It is the heart of a child. Back to our text in the book of James, verse number 11 of chapter 4. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. A submitted heart tonight, dear people, will not be a guy or a lady or a man or anybody that runs around gossiping about their neighbor. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. A submitted heart does not gossip about others. Remember the definition, a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. That is a submitted heart, not one that speaks evil of another brother or sister. A great test of a submitted heart is to understand and to appreciate the perspective and the opinions of others. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Verse 13, Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Dear friends, tonight we must be careful in how we relate and how we talk to and talk about our brothers and our sisters in our churches and in our communities. It matters what you say tonight. It matters how you say it. It matters what you think. Our attitudes spring from a heart that is either submitted to God or submitted to the devil. A great test of a submitted heart is to understand and appreciate the perspective and opinions of others. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse number 21, it says, Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As we think about our hearts tonight, make it personal. Don't look at your brother. Don't look at your sister. Look at your heart. Am I submitted to Almighty God? Am I submitted to my brethren? We want to go to the scriptures now and look at a few people who were called to do something. They were called to submit. They were called to surrender. Some did well, some did not well. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. You know the story before we get there. I know there's been time in my life where I've wanted to be Jonah and run the opposite direction. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. In verse number 3 it says, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This man had a call. God asked him to do something. God asked him to submit to him. And he run the other way. I don't know how Joe and Jason are feeling exactly tonight, but I can imagine there's some thoughts of fleeing, or maybe of at least gone to Black Rock and finding a fishing hole. And I can relate to that. I don't know, the older I get and the longer I've been preaching and the more responsibility, there's just times where you watch your neighbor drive by Sunday morning while you're sitting there and the sermon you've been working on since 5 o'clock is just not coming together. And it's getting light out. You've had too much coffee already and your neighbor drives by with his boat. And I don't know how many times I have wished that I could just put everything down and go with him. You know, we have a call. We have a responsibility to answer it, and not in the way that Jonah did. And we know what happened to Jonah. We know how it ended. Tonight, dear people, as God calls you to do things, be submitted. Let's go now to the book of Exodus, to Moses. And I read over this again. And Moses was the meekest man, and Moses had life figured out. And Moses did a lot of things right. But you know, he was about as hard-headed as I am sometimes. Exodus 3. Exodus 3 and verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Notice his response. He said, Here am I. And I guess I think that Moses stood up. He stood to attention. He said it loudly. He said, Here am I. What would you have for me to do, God? Verse 5, he said, Draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it says Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses did everything right so far. He stood at attention. He said, Here am I. And he backed up a step, hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In verse number 14, we're not going to take the time to read the whole story. You know it well. Verse number 14, God again reiterated to Moses. He says, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. We know the battle here that God had with Moses. Tonight, as you think about your heart and your surrender and your submission, is God battling a battle in your heart? Is he trying to tell you who he is? Is he trying to show you what he can do? In verse 14 it says, I'm sorry, of chapter 4, moving on in the story to chapter 4, verse 14 it says, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. God was disappointed, I believe, in Moses' response. He had pushed back and pushed back and pushed back at submitting to what God had wanted. Moses does come around in verse number 18. It says, And Moses went, of chapter 4, And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. Sometimes There is a battle when it comes to our submission. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 13, it says this: And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. In verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6, it says this, that thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. A surrendered and a submitted heart. Think about the task at hand. Think about the absurdity of what he was asked to do. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis 22, we have a well-known story of Abraham. It'd be interesting to read all of this. We don't have time. And it came to pass in verse number 1, Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said these words, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. An impossibility. Absolutely cannot do this. And Abraham said, Here I am. After the charge, after the call, after the command, it says Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Here I am. Is that your heart's cry tonight? In surrender and submission to what God has for you. And maybe that's a question for Joe and Jason especially. But for what about church? What about the families? Here am I. We know the story. Let's go down here to verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said these words again, Here am I. His heart was surrendered. It was submitted to what God wanted. And lastly, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse number 42. We have these words of Jesus, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In his humanity, he had to make that decision to submit his heart to what God would have him to do. Verse 43, And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We have the greatest example of surrender and of a submitted heart ever recorded in history. And because Jesus was willing to do this tonight, it's the only way that you and I are able to submit our hearts and our lives in service to Him. Because He was willing to surrender and to submit. Romans chapter 15. Verse number 30. We have the words of Paul here. Gives us a little insight on how we are to submit to the will of God, how we are to understand the purpose, the prayer, the peace that comes from knowing and surrendering and submitting. Now I beseech thee, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Dear church, tonight, as we come to this part of the service, come together in prayer. These next few moments, gather together around these brethren, around their families in prayer. We have a quote here I would like to leave with you. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised according to the Word of God for the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. May God bless you tonight, dear church, as you move forward in this service. Brother Joe and Brother Jason, may God be with you. May you have a heart that is surrendered and that is submitted. Shall we all stand together for prayer?